Today's sermon is No One Left Behind Part 2. So we had Part 1 last week, but don't feel like you've lost completely out, because we're going to talk about many of the same things that we talked about last week. But we're talking about that our church needs to be a church of healing and restoration, that our God is a God of healing and restoration. Our church needs to be a place of healing and restoration as well. Now listen to the words: if I can fix the spiritual issue, I can heal the physical. I want to say that again. If I can fix the spiritual issue, I can heal the physical. In every social problem in America that we have today, there is a spiritual dynamic that is behind that issue. So every social ill that we see in society today, that when you get to the root of that problem, you're going to find that there is a spiritual issue or a spiritual dynamic that is involved in that situation. Too much of the time when facing a problem or an issue, we ignore the spiritual dynamic behind it. We separate out our spiritual life and our physical life, and we never look at them as a whole as we should. So many times we say, this is my church life, this is my spiritual life, but this is my daily life, this is my work life, this is my family life, and all the different things that we are involved in. We separate that out, but we never looked at it as a whole, and we need to. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We're going to go there and we're going to move away from there, but there's a scripture I want to point out to you, and it's, I'm sure that for most of us it's one you're very familiar with, but in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So what does he say in verse 26? Then God said, let us make man in our image. So who was there at the time of creation? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, according to our likeness. So you are not only a physical being, but you are also a spiritual being. And I've heard Pastor Carol say many times in her sermons when she used to preach more, she would say that you are more spiritual than you are physical. You get that? You are more spiritual than you are physical, because your physical body is limited. It's only good for so many years, but your spiritual body is for everlasting, forever. So yes, indeed, you are more spiritual than you are physical. Who was there at the time of creation? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I am, yes, indeed, not only physical, but I am also spiritual. So in every problem, listen to me, in every problem I face, I not only have to deal with the physical side of the problem, I also have to deal with the spiritual side of the problem. Let me give you an example. Turn with me to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, let's go down to verse 6. Job chapter 1, verse 6, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 22 so we can kind of get a feeling for what's going on here. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan who come among them. So we know that the adversary has a limited access to the throne of grace today. And we also know that even though he was cast out, we know that he also has limited access as an accuser of the brethren. He's accusing us today. But the Lord Jesus is our high priest. He stands for each and every one of us. We know that eventually he is going to be completely kicked out. He will have no access to heaven. And that's when we see what? The great tribulation that is going to be taking place. But for right now, he has limited access. So he says in verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord, said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. And then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And there was none like him on the earth, a blameless man, an upright man, and one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and the possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand, touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven, burned up the sheep, the servants, and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came to him and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away, yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness, struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people. They are all dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, he fell on the ground and worshiped, and he said, naked I have come from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there, and the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let me ask you, this is what we're trying to get down to. Let me ask you, was this problem that Job had a physical problem or a spiritual problem? It was spiritual, wasn't it? Because of the attack of the adversary. This would be our typical response. Because we walk in the flesh, we think in the flesh, we operate in the flesh, we respond in the flesh, and we leave the Spirit of God over here till when we actually need the Spirit of God. We say, Lord, I'll get along all on my own. I will take care of this. And when you do that, you're walking in treacherous ground when you walk away from the Lord. Every minute of the day, the Lord wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to walk with Him. No matter what you're going in through in life, He wants to be there with you. This would be our typical response. Verse 15, kill the Sabaeans. Verse 16, put out the fire. Verse 17, kill the Chaldeans. Verse 18 and 19, we need to build our houses so they are hurricane-proof. And we never would deal with the spiritual problem that is causing it. Let me give you a list of problems. Each one has its root in a spiritual issue. Alcoholism has its roots in a spiritual issue. Drug addiction has its roots in a spiritual issue. Homelessness has its roots in a spiritual issue. Lawlessness has its roots in a spiritual issue. Lust has its roots in a spiritual issue. If you took alcoholism and you stop and you don't drink anymore, but you don't deal with the spiritual side of your alcoholism, you're still an alcoholic. You get that? Christ has come to you, set you free. I look at alcoholism different and drug addiction different than a lot of other people. I believe that Jesus came to liberate the captives. I believe that He came to set them free. I believe that you can be liberated from alcoholism and never be an alcoholic ever again in your life, because Christ has set you free. And if you're free, you're free indeed, the Scripture says. But you must deal with the spiritual issue that is there as well, because if you don't, you'll just be a dry alcoholic. You ever met a dry alcoholic? They still want to blame everybody. They still want to say it's all their fault, this person's fault, that person's fault, because they never want to look inside. And brother and sister, we have to look inside to the spiritual need that we have in our life. Too many times we want to cover it up, we want to ignore it, we don't want to deal with it, so then we don't deal with it. I remember working with an individual out at 3M. Most of you knew I retired from 3M. I worked out there for 35 years. One time in that person's life, they were in the front break room. There's like three or four different break rooms, but this is the main break room in the front. That person was in that break room one time in their life, and they had a panic attack. Now, I've never had a panic attack. I'm sure there's people in the church that have had them. But rather than deal with the issue to overcome that, he never would set foot back in that break room ever again. That's how he resolved it, because he never dealt with the spiritual issue that was going on and the physical issue. This church that you're sitting in right now, we had all kinds of problems. We had problems with DOT. We had problems with Mid-America. We had problems with this because of price. We had problems with the weather. All these different problems. But what did we need to do? We needed to look at the spiritual side of that problem. It wasn't the DOT, and it wasn't Mid-America. It was Satan trying to prevent us from finishing the work that God has started. In your own life, Jesus has come to heal the spiritual so the physical would be fixed. Let me ask you, in all the problems Jesus faced on this earth, were the problems Jesus faced physical or spiritual? Prophetically, we know that the problem was spiritual. Satan was out to kill Jesus before he was ever born. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So you go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And this is the very first prophecy that I know of concerning the Lord Jesus, other than let us create man in our image. But he says here in verse 15, it identifies, "But I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed and her seed. You shall bruise his head, and you shall bruise his heel." Jesus' heel would be bruised at Calvary, but Jesus would give Satan a killing blow at Calvary by defeating death, hell, and the grave. Look at abortion. Is the problem physical or is it spiritual? And you've been watching the headlines and the news just like I have. Baal worship, I can take you back all the way to the Old Testament in Baal worship, where people were sacrificing their children to a false god. What do we say today? My body, my choice, me, me, me. And I say, get off the throne and let God sit on the throne of your life. Because when you put yourself on the throne of your life, you're going to do what you want in the physical and never consider the spiritual. Jesus came to heal the spiritual so the physical would be fixed. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, you're going to go down to verse 18. Luke chapter 4. I love this scripture. We read a lot of times in church. I've used it for sermon illustrations many times. But in verse 16, it says, "So he came to Nazareth," Luke chapter 4, verse 16. "So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, and he was into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now listen to the words. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, those that have been bruised, those that have been wounded, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." To save, to heal, and to deliver from our physical problems. And the answer is no. Jesus didn't come to heal you immediately from your physical problems without ever dealing with the spiritual problem that you have in your life. The spiritual problems that he came to heal us, then he would heal us from our physical issues as well. And we'll see that in the scripture. Healing the spiritual will fix the physical. This healing that is available to us is a total healing, both spiritual and physical. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. You're running all over the Bible today. Isaiah 53. This prophecy is concerning the Lord Jesus. In verse 4 of Isaiah 53, In Isaiah 53, verse 4, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Jesus came to heal both spiritually and physically. And when you and I are dealing with an issue in our life, we must look at the spiritual side of that issue. Because if we're only dealing on the physical side, there's something that may be the root of that problem that we're dealing with that we are not getting to. The Hebrew words for griefs and sorrows in verse 4 specifically mean a physical affliction. In verse 5, the scripture, "By his stripes we are healed," you will hear ministers say it, you will hear denominations say it, that that is just spiritual healing and not physical healing, and they are wrong scripturally, and we'll look at the scripture to prove it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, and it says this, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah," which we just got done reading, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness." That victory is ours on Calvary. You can be healed from your wounds. You can be healed from the suffering things and the bruises that people bring upon you by the power and by the anointing and by the blood of Jesus Christ. He broke that yoke when he took it to the cross for each and every one of us. Healing is available today just like it was when Jesus was walking this earth, because now he's doing it through the hands of the believers. That we're supposed to be anointed with the Spirit, laying hands on people and having them healed, delivered, and set free from their infirmities in their life. In this thing called life, we also get wounded and we get bruised. In what you are facing right now, what is the spiritual issue of what you've been facing? You know, sometimes when we say, "Well, so-and-so said this, so-and-so did that, they did this to me, they did that to me," and we never take a moment to look at the spiritual issue of what the adversary is trying to do in that situation. What did he do with Job? He came before God and he says, "Look, well, you consider my servant Job." He said, "Well, the only reason he serves you is because you bless him." Do you ever think that Satan came before the Lord and said, "Have you ever considered my son Eric? He loves you with all of his heart." The adversary says, "I will show you how much he loves you." You start facing problems in your life. In the ministry, I have been attacked from every angle that you could ever be attacked. Satan has tried. It's like he is that roaring lion that he just keeps walking around you and walking around you and walking around you, firing those fiery darts of the wicked one. He wants to see which one is going to have an effect on you. Once he knows which one's going to have an effect on you, he's going to keep bringing it to your attention until you claim the victory in the Lord Jesus over that. Turn with me to John 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. So in what you're dealing with right now, what is the spiritual issue that is involved in that situation? John 10, 10. And John 10, 10 says, "The thief does not come to steal and to kill and to destroy, and I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Is that attack from other people, is it that person or is it the adversary that is behind it? Ephesians 6:12 tells us what? That our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. Anyone can be a vessel for Satan to attack us. Other Christians can be vessels for Satan to attack us if they're walking in the flesh. So pin that tail on the donkey where it needs to really be pinned. Who is the problem? Is my wife the problem? am I the problem in her life? Look at marriage relationships. How many times, she did this, he did that. I can't leave with her anymore. I can't live with him anymore. I can't deal with this anymore. I am done. I am out of here. It is over. And we never took 1 second to look at the spiritual side of that problem. We need to look at the spiritual side of the issue. Anyone can be a vessel for Satan. But remember, the problem is not with that person, it's with Satan. Husbands and wives, if you're having problems, then start looking for the spiritual dynamics of that problem and quit blaming each other. In 30 plus years of ministry and all the churches that Carol and I have pastored, can you imagine all the problems that we have faced? I've been fired from a church. I've been told I wasn't needed anymore because the church was growing. Every one of the problems that we faced in 6 different churches that we pastored, every problem, listen to me, every problem that we ever dealt with in every church was a spiritual problem. Never was physical. Oh, you get the physical blunt from it, but it never was a physical problem. It was a spiritual problem. And you know what? So do yours. It's a spiritual problem. Turn with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. You're pretty close to that one. John 16, verse 7. In John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit came to do what? Convict mankind of their spiritual problems so their physical life could be straightened out. That's my paraphrase. The Holy Spirit came to convict mankind of their spiritual problems so their physical life could be straightened out. In our world, sin is a real physical issue. And how do I fix it? By dealing with the spiritual issue of not knowing Jesus by being born again. That's how I fix that issue. Last week's sermon, No One Left Behind. The great thing about God is He has given us the power and authority to deal with these spiritual issues. You have the power and you have the authority. He has given them to you. Last week, I gave you a list of 5 ways God will bring healing and restoration in your life. By His Word and by His Spirit are the first 2. It's the work of sanctification. We don't have time to go into all about sanctification, but we are sanctified. We are set, we are cleansed, we are set free, we're set apart by the power of the Spirit and by the written word. So when we hear me say, and this church has heard me say it many times, what's God's number one goal in your life is for you to know Jesus. What's the second goal is to transform you into the image of Jesus. How does He transform you into the image of Jesus? By His Spirit and by His Word. Man doesn't do that. Man doesn't do that. Legalism does not do that. God changes people. We don't change people. Number 3, through prayer. Prayer, pray over that spiritual issue. Number 4, fellowship with other saints. Allow others to build you up and to love you and to care for you through worship, individual and corporate. Every one of us should be involved in individual worship on a daily basis. Every one of us. I don't care if you're driving down the road. I don't care if you're working out in the garden. But you just say, Lord, I just love you. I praise you. I glorify your name. You need to worship your Creator because you are a spiritual being. He's called you to worship. But not only do we need to worship individually, we need to worship corporately, that we come to the church and we worship together in fellowship together. People that are not coming to church, I said this last week. If you're not coming to church, there is a reason why you're not coming to church, because there is a spiritual problem that you are unwilling to deal with, because God has called us to the church. We are a part of the church. I don't care how weak the church is. I don't care how many mistakes we make. I don't care the wrong things that we do. The church is still the best ship that's afloat in this world. Jesus died for the church. And if He died for the church, it's important for Pastor Leo to be in the church. and it's important for you to be in the church. Every one of us sitting in this room could say, you know what? I've had it with the church. They've hurt my feelings. They've stepped on my toes. My pastor, he's terrible. I know all those things. I've been through all those things. It's never an excuse to stop going to church because Jesus died for the church. Never an excuse. Look what COVID did to the church. I've shared with you numbers of the thousands of churches that are closing in the United States every year, and it has increased, I don't know how many times fold, because of COVID, because people are scared. If you're scared, there's a spiritual problem. You need to deal with that. You've given us the authority in the Lord Jesus Christ to walk in faith, and we need to walk in faith, brother and sister. We need to be in the house of the Lord. We need to be in the house of the Lord together to worship. We need to deal with that spiritual issue, church, of people not coming to church. All of us in this room could say, I've been hurt in church. Sometimes the church will eat you up. You know that as well as I do. Sometimes the church will eat you up. I've been ate up by the church, but I'm still standing and I'm still walking for the Lord. I'm still going where? I'm still going to church. Every one of us in this room has had an excuse at one time or another to quit going to church. And we can say, you know what? I can gather Carol and I can gather the two boys and we can have our own little Bible study in our house. Even on Sunday morning, I can prepare a sermon and I can preach a sermon and I'll just do that and we won't have to be around other people. Is that the church? No, it is not the church. You're supposed to spread the gospel. And the only way you can spread the gospel is being involved in a ministry. And in this church, you're in ministry. And we all need to be there. These five things, His Word, His Spirit, through prayer and fellowship and worship every day, they need to be a part of my life. And the question is, are they? What am I lacking? What do I need to do to correct it and work on? Last week, hurt people. I need God's restoration so I don't hurt others. Think about that. I need God's restoration so I don't hurt other people. I need to pray for the spiritual need they have in their own life so they stop hurting people. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And you are a God of healing, and you are a God of restoration. And I know that there are people in this place that need your healing. They've been wounded, they've been bruised, and they need for you to heal them. We pray for that spiritual need to recognize that what the adversary has brought against us, that we can bind that and we can take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. And we praise you forevermore. Father, we praise you and glorify your name. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We praise you for your presence in this place today. And we pray that, Lord, as we leave here, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our lives. And you would draw us all back together as soon as you desire. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you all. You are dismissed.